We're still in Perek Zayin. I said that we would continue a little bit with this idea of motions create emotions. By going through the motions, it helps to get you in the right mood and the right emotions or whatever. Avaron Efes here told me a nice marshal to this. There's two ways of starting a car. You can turn the key and get some motor starting, right? Or if the battery is low or whatever, you can jump start the car, get it moving first, and that will get the, well, either the battery gets the motor started, or the gears going or whatever, or the gears get the motor going. Sometimes you can get your body moving because you're aroused and inspired. And sometimes by getting your body moving, you become aroused and inspired. Right? Sometimes dancing makes you happy, and sometimes you dance because you're happy. So it works both ways. With that, I always like to mention what we've mentioned many times, but again, there's new faces here, there's some new faces, and there's people who are the old faces have bad memories because we're all getting old, so therefore works on both things. Says by the Mishkan that the Aron was made with gold on the inside and gold on the outside. So Chazal described that as Tocho Kibaro, that the inside is like the outside. And a Talmud Chacham should be, his inside should be like his outside. So we always said that that implies that you start with the outside, that you make the inside like the outside, which means you don't start with the inside and make the outside gold like the inside, but you start with the gold outside and you make the outside like the inside. Tocho kebaro. L'chora, why would it be? It should be that the inside is more important and the outside is secondary. So you start with the inside. The most important thing is that you have the right kavanas and the right feelings. And then the chitzonius is, why would it, the Torah mention the chitzonius first, tocho kebaro? So we said that it's because that's the way people are, right? You can't expect to get all the right ideas or whatever initially and then project it outside, but it's the opposite. You have to go through the motions. And I always like to tell the story of a woman that was, today they call her mitchazek, I don't know what we called her in those days in America, but she was like, she was becoming more frum. She was brought up in a more modern Orthodox home, and therefore Shabbos was very lax and Kashrus was very lax. You know, there are places that people keep kosher, but you know, don't take it too seriously. Anything that has a hechsher or even anything that has a K in the, even the name of the product is probably kosher. What could be wrong with it? You know, I remember when I was a kid, a young kid, it said on a restaurant 100% beef. And I said, it doesn't have any vegetable shortening, nothing that could be treif. So what could be wrong with 100%, you know, pure beef? Obviously I learned after that it was a problem. But in any case, so there are people like that, you know, what could be wrong with it? So, and Shabbos, you know, as long as I don't drive and I don't answer the phone, I don't turn on the lights, that's good enough. More than I'm not interested in. And surely tznius, right? As long as I'm dressed, you know, that's good enough. That's the way. There are plenty of people in this world like that consider themselves frum. Just, you know, don't confuse me with the details. So this woman grew up in a home like that, and originally, that's the way she was. She got married, and then she had a kid. And she started getting serious, like, you know, I'm going to have to bring up this child, and maybe I have to start learning a little bit more about Shabbos and Kashrus and whatever. And she did, and her husband went along with it. And slowly, not overnight, she started becoming more frum. She started coming to classes and to learning and asking questions. And she re-kashered her home and made it mamish bedikduk kosher. And she started learning Hilchot Shabbos and was much more careful with Shemira Shabbos and kept asking Shilas or whatever. And this went on for maybe a year or two. And she really was really improving and really getting to a nice madrega. The only area that she wasn't improving in was tznius. In Miami, Itaka, you know, if you got dressed already, was a big milah. So short sleeves, and she didn't cover her hair. She was a married woman. So I once called her in, and I said, look, I'm very impressed, you know, how your Shabbos is improving and your kashrus is improving. I think you're ready for the next stage. And I think that maybe it's time that you start dressing more modestly and that you cover your hair. She said to me, Rabbi, I can't do that. Because in those days, most of the women, that modern Orthodox, which was a good portion of the women I had in my kehila, didn't cover their hair. That was like, you know, modern Orthodox women didn't cover their hair, whatever the reason was. And it was who did cover their hair? The Rebbetzin, the day school teachers' wives. You had to be like, you know, a Rebbetzin to cover your hair. So she said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. If I start wearing a shekel, people will say, oh, Rebbetzin. And I don't feel like a Rebbetzin. And I'm going to be putting on an act. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. So as soon as I feel like a Rebbetzin, I'll start covering my hair. So she told me. I told her, you know what you can be compared to? The following. Somebody comes to shul in Simchas Torah. And he says, I don't really feel happy. And if I get up and start dancing, I'm a hypocrite. People think that I'm happy, and I'm really not. So I'm going to sit here and contemplate being happy. And as soon as I'm happy, I'm going to get up and dance. You got to sit there till Tisha B'Av. Right? You'll never be happy. How do you get happy? Dance. You dance, you get happy. That's the way people are. If you continue dressing immodestly, you're never going to feel modest. Start dressing modestly. It'll make you feel modest. And eventually you'll feel it. That's not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody who puts on an act. They don't want to feel that way. They don't want to be that way. They just want to fool people. That's a hypocrite. But somebody who wants to get there, and the way to do it is, like we said, motions create emotions. So sometimes you have to jumpstart yourself too. So that's not a hypocrite. That's the way to do it. If you want to feel like that, if you really want to, right, then this is the way to do it. In any case, so that is toho kebaro. You have to start on the outside, and eventually it brings the emotions and the feelings, they come about. But if you don't get into it externally, you're never going to get to the internal. If you don't want to get to the internal, you just want to put on an act, that's wrong. Even that, mitol shelo lishma bolish, sometimes. But if you don't want to get to the lishma, you're not interested in that, you just want to put on an act, that's wrong. But I'm doing it for external reasons. I want to make an impression on people. But I really would like one day to really feel it. That's fine also. That's mitol shelo lishma bolishma. There's only one problem with all of this. That is, that's not how they, what's it called, that's not what the Torah says. The rabbis describe how they made the Aron toho kebaro, which means that the outside was first, and then the inside accommodated itself to the outside. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, v'tzipisa oso zahav tahar, you should cover the Aron with gold, mibayis umichutz etzapenu, inside and outside. Mashma, that what's it called, that the inside came first. So first comes the inside, then the outside. So why did the Torah say it in a way that Taka, first you worry about the inside, then the outside? And the rabbis changed it around and said, which we said is more realistic, first you worry about the outside, then eventually you'll get to the inside. So always explain that really there's three levels. Vitzipiso oso zahav tahar means the outside. If it just said that, then you'd have gold on the outside, like all the other kalim in the Mishkan, where there were only gold on the outside. It says vitzipiso oso. Then it says mibayis. Now the inside, and then again the outside. Just three levels: outside first, then inside, and then again outside. How did it work? So Rashi says there were three boxes: one small box of gold, a medium-sized box of wood, and a larger box of gold. The first thing they did was take the box of wood and put it inside the bigger box of gold. So now the Aron was covered on the outside with gold. That's how they covered it. And smear gold on it. And they put it inside this box, that the inside box fit into the outside box. So now the first thing they did was cover it on the outside. Just the way the rabbis say. First comes the outside. Then they put the little gold box inside the wooden box. Now it's covered on the inside. What's not covered? The rim. If you look down on the aron, you see a sandwich of gold, wood, and gold. Now you had to somehow cover the rim. So now they put gold around the rim to cover the wood of the rim, also with gold. Again, that's on the outside. So you had three levels. First on the outside, then on the inside, and then again on the outside. So what does that imply? You have to start with the outside, and eventually you'll get to the inside. So what's the last thing, again, on the outside? So going back to the person on Simchas Torah, a guy comes to shul, and he's not happy. But he gets into it, and he starts dancing, and now he really feels happy with the Torah. So what should he do? Stop dancing? No. He should continue dancing. Why? Not because it'll wear off, but because there is an idea of expressing inner feelings externally. The externals can bring you to the inner feelings, and then the externals can,
Express,
that's a good word. They can express those inner feelings in a more concrete way. And it's really a Ramban. The Ramban in his Perush on Aseres HaDibros, he quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And he says the following. It's not the Perush on Aseres HaDibros, it's in the Perush HaRamban Alat Torah. It's a separate work of the Ramban. And he says like this. It says in Shir HaShirim, Mato'iru u'mato'oru esa'ava ad she'techpot. The simple meaning is, don't arouse your great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu till the time comes that it's wanted. In other words, don't try to bring Mashiach before the time or something like that. But he learns it a little bit differently. He says it means like this. A person who is aroused with tremendous feelings of love or fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't leave those feelings just flying in the air. Ethereal feelings. Ad shetechpatz, put it into something concrete, into a chefetz. Express it in a physical, concrete way. Because that gives it more reality. It's more real when it's expressed in a physical way. To the point that, I think it's Reb Chaim Vital says, or a Moshe Cordovero, one of the Bat Mikubalim says, that the neshamas in Gan Eden look forward to Trias HaMesim like we look forward to Yimos HaMashiach. You would think that it's a higher level to be a neshama without a body. But it's not like that. As long as the neshama is not in a body, it can't really express itself the way it should. It's only when the neshama and the body are together, and the neshama can express itself in a concrete, physical way, that's the highest level. And that's why Trias HaMesim will be that the neshamas will come back to this world and be in a physical body, according to the Ramban. That will be the eternal thing, is physical and spiritual together. Because spiritual alone is not the highest level. The highest level is where the neshama can express itself physically.
So what is the Gemara saying? That it would have been better if we'd never been born. Wouldn't it have had the physical then?
No, so it could be that according to the Ramban, that we wouldn't have come into this physical world with the kind of physical body that is temporal, right? But we would have been created in Trias HaMesim with an eternal body. The Ramban says that Trias HaMesim is not a spiritual world. Olam Haba is not a spiritual world. It's a world, a physical world, but a world where the physical is eternal. You don't have to eat, you don't have to drink, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who ate for 40 days or 40 nights, didn't eat and drink. Eliyahu Navi didn't eat and drink, but he has a body, right? But he didn't have to eat and drink. So it's possible to have a body, and the body will not need to function in a physical way. So then they ask on the Ramban, so what's the purpose of the body? If you don't have to eat, you don't have to drink, and you're not going to carry on any of the physical necessities of life, then why need a body for it? So the answer is what I'm saying now. That the body serves two purposes in this world. It creates a base in a physical world for the neshama to exist, like a candle forms a base for a flame. And you can't have a flame without a wick and a fuel source. So you need something physical to make that flame stick in this world. So the neshama is like the flame that connects itself to the body. So you need the body to generate the spiritual. So you have to eat, and by eating and promoting your body, you give the place for the neshama to exist. That's only in this world. In the next world, you don't need the body to what's it called, to give a place for the neshama to exist. Neshama will give a place for the body. The neshama will nurture the body. So what do you need a body for? To express the neshama physically. Not to create a means of support for the neshama, but to give the neshama something to express itself through. That's what that's the explanation of this Ramban. And if that's the case, so the physical has two purposes. One, that the motions create the emotions, and once you have the emotions, the physical gives you a way to express those emotions in a concrete way, in a more concrete way, more real way. And the reality really is physical and spiritual together. Each one by itself is not the total reality. And the Rambam argues on that, but I guess that's the way the Rambam learns. So that's what the Masil Shasharim is saying, that the Maisa, you can either get yourself aroused by having an neshama that is all fired up, and that gets your body moving fast, so the Zrizus starts with your inspiration and enthusiasm, and it spills over and makes your body move, right, because you're motivated, which is like a Ravaran's marshal, you turn the key and the car goes, right, because the motors, you got the motor going. But then what's it called, sometimes you have to do it the opposite way. Sometimes you have to get the car moving to make the motor go, so you have to start dancing to make yourself happy. Not because you're happy you dance. And after all of that, once you get the emotions and you feel it inside, then there's still an idea to express it externally and make it more concrete and more real. Okay, so that is what he says. Va'omnam. Now we're up to towards the end of the parak. I think the last paragraph. Va'omnam kvar yodata shehanirtze yoser b'avodas haboris barach shemo hu chefetz halev u'tshukas haneshama. Really, the ideal is not the externals. The ideal is that you should feel it inside, that your heart should be in it, that your neshama should be in it. Right? That's what real Yiddishkeit is. Not just you go through the motions, but you have the emotion. V'hu ma shedavid hamelech mishalel b'chelko atova omer ka'ayil tarog alafike mayim ke'nafshi tarog elech alokim tzoma nafshi lalokim. David HaMelech brags that he's reached a level where his neshama moves him. His neshama desires the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And like a deer moves with such enthusiasm because he's moved by his inside feelings. His inside feelings move his body. Nichsefogam kol se nafshi l'chas Hashem. Another pasuk, tzoma l'cho nafshi, koma l'cho besori. My nefesh, my neshama is really into this. And therefore you can see it on the outside. It expresses itself through how my body moves, how my neshama is feeling. V'ulam, ha'odam asher ein hachem da'azos lehetes bokoroi, but not all David HaMelech. And if you don't really feel inspired and moved, right, so then how do you get it? Eitza tova hilo, she's daris birtzolno kedei sheyimshach mizeh, shetivolid bo hachem da'beteva. So therefore the Eitza is, go through the motions, and it will awaken your neshama to feel like you're doing. You'll feel like you're acting. Ki atnua hachitzon lemorer sapnimis, because the external action gets your neshama worked up. Uvadai shiyoser mesura biyado hi hachitzon lemapnimis, and therefore it's easier to control your body and make it move than to make your neshama move. Right? If you're not moved and you're not on that level to really move your neshama, it's much harder to get your neshama moving than to start, you know, dancing. It's much harder to get your neshama to be besimcha than to get your body dancing. So therefore, when your neshama is not really worked up, get your body working, and eventually that will make your neshama work. If you can do what you can do, eventually it will reach you to a level of something that you couldn't do on your own, but you put into motion because you have the external thing. I think the marshal is a great marshal. Push the car, and eventually the motor will start, which you couldn't do because the battery was too low. So turning the key wasn't going to help. But once you push the car, you can get the motor started by going through the motion. He volleyed bo hashimcha pnimis v'chefetz v'chem d'mikoach mashahu mislai p'nuasm rotzo. If you want to get your neshama moving, then move your body, and eventually it will have an effect on your neshama. V'hu mashahoya hanovi omer v'neido nirdefo ladash Hashem. Right, I'm going to run after the Rabbanu Shalom. So if I run after the Rabbanu Shalom, my neshama is going to eventually catch up and run with me too. The cost of achri Hashem yelechu ka'ar yisha. Walk after the Rabbanu Shalom like a lion. And if you go through those motions of walking and running, then eventually your neshama will feel the same thing.